And now it's time for the Northern Storyteller. Hello, I'm Lois Green. Today I'll be reading two stories from the book A Children's Treasury of Folk and Fairy Tales, edited by Eric Potter. The first story is A Gift for a Gift, an old tale from Saxony. A mighty king once lost his way while hunting alone in a forest, and late at night, when he was cold and weary and hungry, he at last reached the hut of a poor miner. The miner was away digging for coal, and his wife didn't realize that the gentleman who rapped on her door and begged for a night's lodging was the king himself. "You're very poor," she explained, "but if you will be content as we are with a plate of potatoes for dinner and a blanket on the floor for a bed, you will be most welcome." The king's stomach was empty, his bones ached, and he knew that on this dark night he would never find his way back to his castle. And so he gratefully accepted the woman's hospitality. He sat down to dinner with her and greedily ate a generous portion of steaming potatoes baked in an open fire. "These are better than the best beef I've ever eaten," he exclaimed. And still smacking his lips, he stretched out on the floor and took himself fast asleep. Early the next morning, the king washed in a nearby brook, and then returned to the hut to thank the miner's wife for her kindness. And for her trouble, he gave her a gold piece. Then he was on his way to his palace. When the miner returned home later that day, his wife told him about the courteous, kind and distinguished guest who had stayed overnight in their home. Then she showed her husband the gold piece he had given her. The husband realized at once that the king himself must have been their overnight guest. And because he believed that the king had been far too generous in his payment for their humble fare and lodging, he decided to go at once to present his majesty with a bushel of potatoes. Fine, round potatoes, the very kind the king had enjoyed so much. The palace guards refused at first to let the miner enter, but when he explained that he wanted nothing from the king, that in fact he had come only to give the king a bushel of potatoes, they let him pass. "Kind sire," he said when he finally stood before the king, "last night you paid my wife a gold piece for a hard bed and a plate of potatoes. Even if you are a great and wealthy ruler, you paid me much too much for the little offered you. Therefore, I have brought you a bushel of potatoes, which you said you enjoyed as much as the finest beef. Please accept them, and should you ever pass by our house again, we will be happy to have the opportunity to serve you more." These proud and honest words pleased the king, and to show his appreciation, he ordered that the miner be given a fine house and a 3-acre farm. Overjoyed by his good luck, the honest miner returned home to share the news with his wife. Now, it so happened that the miner had a brother, a wealthy brother who was shrewd, greedy, and jealous of anyone else's good fortune. When he learned of his brother's luck, he decided that he too would present the king with a gift. Not long before, the king had wanted to buy one of the brother's horses, but because he had been asked to pay an outrageously high price, the king had never bought the animal. Now, thought the avaricious brother, he would go to his sovereign and make him a gift of the horse. After all, he reasoned, if the king gave a 3-acre farm and a house to my brother in return for a mere bushel of potatoes, I will probably get a mansion and 10 acres for my gift. He dressed the horse and polished its harness, and then rode to the palace. Past the sentries, he walked directly into the king's audience chamber. "Gracious sir," he began, "not long ago you wanted to buy my horse, but I placed a very high price on it. You may have wondered why I did so, great king. Let me explain. I did not want to sell the horse to you. I wanted to give it to you, your majesty, and I ask you now to accept it as a gift. If you look out your window, you will see the horse in your courtyard. She is, as you know, a magnificent animal, and I am sure that not even you have such a fine stallion in your royal stable." The king realized at once that this was not an honest gift. He smiled and said, "Thank you, my friend. I accept your kind gift with gratitude, and you shall not go home empty-handed. Do you see that bushel of potatoes there in the corner? Well, those potatoes cost me a 3-acre farm and a house. Take them as your reward. I am sure that not even you have a bushel of potatoes in your storeroom with so high a value on them." What could the greedy beggar do? He dared not argue with the king. He simply raised the heavy sack to his shoulders and carried it home, while the king ordered the horse put in his stable. The Magic Walking Stick. This is a Bohemian tale about a mighty magician who lived under the earth called the Carrot Planter. From early morning until late at night, Alfred Ritter worked in a pharmacy preparing the drugs the doctors ordered. But on his day off, whenever the weather permitted, the young apprentice wandered into the fields and valleys and collected rare herbs, unusual grasses, flowers, and moss. On cold or wet days, he stayed at home and read books about other lands, for it had always been Alfred's greatest desire to see the world. And by reading, he at least learned about faraway places he would probably never be able to visit. One beautiful autumn day, Alfred walked to the mountains to collect some special herbs that bloomed at this time of the year. On his way home, he met an old, bent-over man with a snow-white beard who carried a heavy bundle of brushwood on his back. "That wood is too heavy for you, good father," said Alfred. "Have you no son or grandson or friend or assistant to help you?" "No, I am completely alone," gasped the old man. "And if I don't want to freeze in the winter, I have to gather my firewood now." "But let me carry the wood for you," said Alfred, and he lifted the heavy load from the old man's back and put it on his own. "No, I can't let you do that," wheezed the man through his bushy beard. "You see, I have no money, and I won't be able to pay you for your work." "That's not what I had in mind at all," laughed Alfred Ritter. "I just want to give you a hand." And so they trudged on together, neither saying a word. The old man seemed to know exactly where he was going, but for Alfred, this part of the forest was new. "What were you doing in the mountains?" asked the old man. "Oh, just collecting herbs," Alfred replied. "I take great pleasure in collecting nature's beautiful things. But you know, good father, the one thing I would like to do more than anything else is to travel. I would go to the most beautiful places. I would climb the highest mountains. I would cross all the oceans. But alas, this is just a daydream, because I can never expect to do even one of these things. After all, I am just a pharmacist apprentice. And as you know, if one wants to travel, one needs time and money." The old man listened attentively, but from time to time he seemed to laugh into his long white beard. Then he nodded. That's youth. Always restless, always anxious to see the world. But when you get as old as I am, you'll see that peace and quiet are the really important things." At last they reached a splintered, tottering shack. The old man opened the creaking door and asked Alfred to enter and drop the wood next to the fireplace. Then he bent over the bundle and pulled a branch from it. "Here," he puffed, "take this for your trouble. It's all I can give you." Alfred courteously thanked the old man and left. "It's kind of that poor old man to want to give me something," he thought, "but what am I to do with this branch? If I throw it away, the old man may find it, and then his feelings will be hurt. Well, I'll simply carry it for a while and use it for a cane." But after he had walked for a few minutes, Alfred realized that he was no longer following the path he had taken with the old man. He turned, planning to make his way back and ask for directions. But no shop could he find, and no old man. Then Alfred knew he was hopelessly lost in the forest. "How am I going to find my way out?" he wondered. The pharmacist must have a full day's work all ready for me, and now I'm going to be late. Oh, how I wish I were home. And suddenly he found himself standing in the market square in front of the pharmacy with cane in his hands. What had happened? Only a minute before he had been lost in a forest, and now he was home. Perhaps this is a dream, he thought. But in his hand he held a stick, and with his other hand he could feel it, and there, leaning against the door and smoking his pipe, was the pharmacist, nodding his head in friendly greeting. This was no dream. Shaking his head in amazement, Alfred gazed at the mysterious cane, and as he did, he slowly realized what had taken place. The old man had been none other than the carrot counter, and in return for the small favor given him, he had bestowed on Alfred Ritter something that would make Alfred's only wish come true. From now on, Alfred would be able to travel the world, seeing the lands and the sights of his dreams. To convince himself that all this had really happened, Alfred decided to test the cane's magic power. With trembling hands, he clasped it and whispered, "Please take me to Venice." But there, he was standing in the middle of San Marco and Venice. People walked by, the pigeons clucked and pecked and fluttered, and the glowing white marble walls of the Ducal Palace were even more beautiful than he had ever imagined. In the distance, he heard the calls of the gondoliers and the chimes of beautiful bells. Amidst all this splendor, Alfred stood, mouth open and rubbing his eyes in wonderment. Then he remembered that he was expected at work. He again held the stick firmly in his hands and said, "Please take me back to my room." And in the same moment, he was back home, and nobody knew that he had been away. This was the most wonderful secret in the world. From that day on, Alfred took advantage of every hour of free time. One day he would visit the top of the highest mountain in the world. On another day, he would travel across the desert on a camel. On another, he would hunt reindeer with the Eskimos. He visited America. He learned the customs of the Chinese and Japanese peoples. He went into the deepest jungles of Africa and watched lions and giraffes grazing on the sun-drenched meadows and prairies. And Alfred never had to worry about any danger because his magic cane would immediately transport him to safety. And from every place and country Alfred visited, he always brought back one or two souvenirs. Years passed, and Alfred lived in his own world of adventure. If anyone from the little town visited Alfred in his little room, the visitor was surprised to find so many wonderful foreign objects. But when his friends asked him where he had obtained them, Alfred would never tell, but only smile, for he knew well that magic only lasts as long as it remains a secret. Finally, Alfred wrote a book about his adventures, and when the books became popular, he earned enough from them to be able to give up his job. From that time on, his entire life consisted of travel. When at last Alfred grew old, he decided to retire and return to his hometown. And whenever friends came to visit him, they wondered about the old, worn, and unimpressive cane Alfred held in his hands at all times. "Why do you always carry that cane in your hands?" they would ask. But for many years, Alfred never replied, only smiling when the question was asked. One day, however, Alfred confided in his dearest and oldest friend. He told him the story of his meeting with the carrot counter, and how in return for one simple kindness, Alfred had been granted his greatest wish. "Do you see, my friend?" Alfred asked. "All my happiness is due to this most unlikely-looking cane. And now I am sure you understand why I have always guarded it so zealously and have kept it near at all times." After Alfred Ritter died, those of his friends who knew the wonderful secret rushed to his room to search for the magic cane. But nowhere was the cane to be found. It had disappeared forever, back down below the surface of the earth, far, far under the deepest wells, or even the deepest of the seas, where the carrot counter lives. You've been listening to two stories from a children's treasury of folk and fairy tales, edited by Eric Prater and published by Beaufort Books. Northern Storyteller is a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska, Fairbanks. Our program is coordinated by Ron Inouye. The executive producer is Carla Tonella, and I'm Lois Boone. Thank you.